In other news, portions of Wisconsin getting almost a foot of snow. I think that counts, by the way, Jerry A. Bader Show, 1035. I think that counts as Jason being right. Spring is never going to get here if you take the entire state in which Jason resides, which is Wisconsin. This is just brutal. Just brutal. By the way, I forgot to mention something. When Jason was discussing his weight loss, I went nuts on the grill last night. I have now in 3.5-ounce portions steak, chicken, and steak, and chicken. I went through two. I had both sides of my big charcoal grill going. Well, it's great because I just have all this stuff now. And apparently I'm going to need it because it's not going to feel like spring again for a month. It's just such a brutal winter, and it still won't end. Yesterday, Governor Scott Walker launched his bid for re-election. He traveled around the state. I shamed the Wausau Daily Herald newspaper just before the news there because they didn't cover Walker's event in their own backyard. They relied on the Green Bay reportage of that, and then covered a Burke event in their area, not in the same place, but in their area. I want to compare and contrast. Now, obviously, Scott Walker's message, Wisconsin is back on, was the theme as he traveled around. He coupled this with an internet release of a campaign ad, the audio of which I want to play for you right now.
It had gotten pretty bad 4 years ago. Over 130,000 jobs lost, a deficit over $3 billion, and taxes going up. Wisconsin's future looked dark. But it's different now. Wisconsin has turned around. The deficit is gone. Taxes are lower, and more people have gone back to work. Kids are going to college. Families are planning vacations, and more are going to sleep knowing they have access to health care. Unemployment is below the national average, and we're investing in worker training to prepare people for the jobs that are available. The goal is that everyone who wants a job can find a job. Less dependence on government, more dependence on individual hard work and pride. That's progress. That's what leadership feels like. And thanks to Governor Walker, Wisconsin is back on.
Mary Burke responded to that theme, not that specific ad, but to the governor's announcement with a statement that read in part, "We are in our fourth losing season with this governor and his failed game plan. It's time for a new direction. It's time for Wisconsin to lead, not lag." Really? What direction would that be? The Illinois direction? Which has them going almost over a cliff? What direction would that be? And how did we fare under the guy for whom you worked as Commerce Secretary, Diamond Jim Doyle? Boy, I haven't used his name in a long time. And I haven't used Diamond Jim in a long time. Diamond Jim Doyle. In the last 4 years of Doyle's time in office, in his last term, Wisconsin lost 134,000 jobs. Doyle left with the unemployment rate at 7.7%. He hiked taxes by $2 billion and allowed property taxes to go up an additional $1.5 billion. Jim Doyle left Wisconsin with a $3.6 billion budget hole. So, all right, now would anyone in the mainstream media be sharp enough to ask her about this? Well, you know, you're saying that this has been a losing 4 years. How does it compare to Jim Doyle's last 4 years? Or is she just going to get a free ride? Is she going to be able to have it both ways? Is she going to be able to lean on her years but not be called out on her years with the Doyle administration? She's going to tout all the wonderful things she did. Is she going to be called upon to say, well, are you saying we should do it the way Jim Doyle did? Is that what you're arguing? Nobody's going to call out on that in the mainstream media. Now, I have been saying, and I understand I'm not unbiased in this. I think by the time November rolls around, I don't think this is going to be as close as we fear it is now. But that's not to say you can take this lightly. I think she's a lightweight intellectually and politically, but there's still the polarization that exists. Colin Roth, who does the Roth Report at Wright, Wisconsin, came up with five strengths and vulnerabilities for Scott Walker. And I think Colin did a particularly good job on this. And I want to share this with you. The strengths he points out for Scott Walker are strong message, Act 10, most tax-cutting governor in America, tuition freezes, unemployment rate is down, economy is improving, but yes, slowly. We all have to accept that. But those are the things that have his base excited and his opposition, they're trying to change reality. Two, money. Scott Walker still has lots of campaign money. Three, and this is where I totally agree with Colin, a weak opponent. She is weak. And knowing now that she doesn't have the money to, as she put it, self-fund the way Ron Johnson or Herb Kohl or others did, I think, has to have them terrified. Wait a minute. You have nothing to say, but we thought you'd have tons of money with which to say it. Not so much. Strong polling. Yeah. Now, by the way, I will tell you that not the governor's camp, nobody accepts the St. Norbert College numbers that show Scott Walker with, what was it, a 16-point lead. Nobody believes that. I do think it's trending his way, though. I do think the gap is growing. I don't accept that it's growing that widely. This one, I think, is really big, and that he is up for re-election in a midterm year. And I think it's going to be a huge Republican year nationally. And I think that's going to trickle down to Wisconsin. I was asked about this on one of the, in the state here, one of the Sunday morning public affairs programs, one here in Green Bay. I was on Mike Gushay last week. The week before, I was on with Robert Hornacek here in Green Bay. And I was asked about that, and I think, yeah, in a midterm year where Democratic turnout isn't as strong, and what I think is going to be a big Republican night nationally, I think she definitely faces all of that. And I think those factors will play in the governor's favor. Then he has five weaknesses. And I don't know if he has these in order of priority. Here's what he points out. The empathy gap. That Democrats care more about you. Mitt Romney was horribly underwater. 81% said Romney didn't care about people like them. For Governor Walker, it's 51%. That's still high. Be sure the Democrats, as Colin points out, are going to try to exploit that. Then he has the wedge issues, war on women, ultrasound bill, marriage equality, minimum wage, reforms to voting. Yes, all that Republican agenda, they're going to use that. John Doe, too. And will anything become of it? Four is his presidential talk for 2016, which I think they're going to use. Five, the 250,000 jobs promise. Here's the way I think these are going to be used against him. I think one is the empathy gap. I think two is the 250,000 jobs promise. Then I think what they will do, and by they I mean liberals, not Mary Burke or her campaign or the Democratic Party, they will have their third-party groups. I mean, they won't have them do it, as far as we know. But their third-party groups will hit on the John Doe. What do we know? That, don't think that they're going to let thousands of emails go to waste. They're going to use those in ads, and I believe they will use them in misleading ads to suggest that those emails are part of unfinished business. That would be John Doe 2.0 when they are from John Doe 1.0, the original John Doe investigation. That's what I believe they're going to do, the third-party groups trying to attack Scott Walker. So I would say, in terms of what Burke and Democrats will attack him, I think empathy and the jobs promise. But don't for a minute think that they're not going to try to exploit John Doe 2.0. Speaking of which, we now know the State Government Accountability Board, a vote by the GAB, approved the probe into the Walker recall. Former judges who comprise the State Government Accountability Board voted unanimously last year to authorize the investigation of fundraising and spending by Governor Scott Walker's campaign and his allies during the recent recall elections, according to a Tuesday court filing, reports Patrick Marley and Dan Bice in the Journal Sentinel. Dean Nickel, an investigator hired by the Accountability Board to assist with the investigation, said in the 10-page filing that he believes the substantial evidence gathered in the probe, coupled with the GAB's unanimous approval of the investigation, directly refutes plaintiffs' witch hunt theory. Nickel's brief, one of a series filed with the federal court on Tuesday in a bid by Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm and his aides to get a federal appeals court to intervene in the high-profile John Doe probe. Chisholm and two other prosecutors filed paperwork Tuesday to have the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals review a decision last week by U.S. District Judge Rudolph Randa in Milwaukee, refusing to dismiss the lawsuit against them. The prosecutors need Randa's approval to get their case before the appeals court. They're also asking Randa to halt the case until the appeals court rules, a move that would prevent prosecutors from getting deposed by targets of the investigation. That's what this is all about. They don't want to be on the hot seat. And the GAB unanimous vote does nothing to persuade me at all, that this is not a partisan witch hunt. And that's why this lawsuit by the defendants should continue, by the so-called accused here. Couple more to get to, and we'll still have things left over for the after show video. It's 10:48.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.